When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Let's get petty. Pettycast on Tuesday. We got all the crumbs from over the weekend where people got salty about things, and we're going to get salty right along with them. Our pettiness shows through.
Yeah. We encourage everybody to let your petty flag fly. Don't try to be a good human being.
Not during this segment. Man. Yeah, not during. Yeah. And text in. 5-Hour Energy fan line as we head into the 8 o'clock hour here. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. If you're petty about something, someone said, hopefully George Pickens made this episode of the Pettycast. He did not. That was all the way back on Thursday. We might have even played some of that George Pickens. He did not, but let's start off. Another wide receiver made it. And I predicted this one before the season when he was drafted by the New York Giants.
Yes, that's right.
This is not going to go well with Malik Nabers and Daniel Jones in New York.
He was throwing shade at Daniel Jones before he'd even arrived in New Jersey.
From jump. And so I feel good. I don't get a lot of them right. This one I got right.
Yeah.
Here was Malik Nabers after the Giants just awful loss to the Bucs. They got run off the field in New York by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30-7. And once again, Malik Nabers not targeted early in the game. Didn't get targets till the game was way out of reach. He did not like it. He was petty AF.
Go out there first, second quarter. Don't get the ball. Start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Dave about that. Talk to Dave.
Did you say something to the coaches at halftime?
I mean, they know. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was that. I mean, I don't know, man.
He is chomping.
Is he chewing gum?
He's chomping on that gum, dude. He was chomping.
That's extra degrading.
Yes.
When somebody's putting you down and they're chewing gum.
I mean, just you can hear. You know, he is. He's chewing. You look at the video. He's working on that gum. And if it sounded muffled or you don't know who he's referring to, Dabes is Brian Daboll, the head coach of the Giants and the play caller for the Giants.
It's curious because, you know, with a rookie wide receiver, you always wonder, all right, is he running his routes correctly and everything? For whatever it's worth, his PFF grades are great on the receiving side of things. But so you always wonder with rookies. Yeah, sometimes it's because you're not actually running the offense as crisply as you deserve. Figure out a way to get Malik Nabers involved, okay?
Yes.
You're at a point in your team's development this year where whatever he can do, lean into it a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Get him his touches early on.
Oh,
the Giants are just a flaming mess. Yeah. I hope Man, I hope Joe Shane doesn't get fired, the GM. I hope he doesn't get fired in the offseason because it'll be so much fun. We'll have to have we could have a weekly Giants petty cast and just play nothing but sports radio callers from New York.
Yeah, they've got to be beside themselves right now. Here was Rex Ryan actually talking about the Giants being a dumpster fire.
When you let Daniel Jones walk out with, we're not going to play because we don't want him to get hurt. We know you're our best quarterback, but, you know, we don't want you to get hurt because we don't be stuck with that money and all that stuff. Great message you sent to the locker room. You got exactly what you deserve. That team looked like they had no energy, no juice. And why? You gave up on them. Don't tell me the players gave up on you. You gave up on them when you made this move. It's such a ridiculous thing. This isn't one game left in the season. There's seven games left. So you know what? It's not, by the way, it's not Daniel Jones' fault that you gave him $40 million. It's not. Okay, and it's not his fault that you didn't assign Saquon Barkley. It's your damn fault.
Okay, so Rex is talking about the fact that not only they cut Daniel Jones, but they jumped Tommy DeVito, the third stringer, over Drew Lock, the second stringer at quarterback.
Yeah.
Because Drew Lock might hit some incentives that would trigger some money that he would get. Is what people believe. Yeah.
It's complicated because look, yes, there are some financial considerations that make a whole lot of sense for cutting Daniel Jones now. But yes, that's true. They wouldn't have been an issue if he'd been playing consistently, right? They wouldn't be having this. So the financial concerns accelerated the process, but it doesn't excuse the fact that Daniel Jones just simply hasn't been playing well. Mm-hmm. So I don't buy into the whole, like, what kind of message are you sending to the locker room? Daniel Jones could have sent a message with good play that he didn't need to get cut.
That's right.
You know, so it's as many things that, look, the Giants got themselves into this situation. Yeah. They got him. Joe Shane spent the entire offseason on HBO talking about how the guy he had just given a huge contract, they need to figure out whether he's actually a good quarterback or not.
What they have in him, yeah.
The damage is already done. That was already clear. Yep. They put out an advertisement to their own players all offseason long that they didn't trust Daniel Jones or believe in him.
Yep.
And yet they had already paid him. The damage is done. We're complaining now about... It's like we're whining about the guy eating too many sausages after he's already been diagnosed with colon cancer.
That's right.
Okay, right. He should have made some different decisions earlier in life, okay?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in the middle of the petty cast here, as you can tell. I'm going to go to this one right now because it ties in. This happened in the Giants' loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not sure how many people saw this, but Baker Mayfield scored a touchdown on a short run, probably about a 10 or 15-yard run. It goes hurtling into the end zone, pops up, and starts giving the Tommy DeVito, like, hey, you know, the hand thing he does. Like, what's the matter you? Like, the touching the thumbs to, like, the two middle fingers on both hands, you know? Like,
like an emphatic. It looks like the Johnny Manziel cash grab. That's what I thought it was at first.
Yeah, but it's...
But it was actually the... It was more of an Italian thing.
Yeah, an Italian thing. Hey.
What's this marinara?
Which unto itself is petty. You're making fun of the other...
A lot of Italian Americans might not have liked that.
Right. Yeah. So it looks like you're making fun of him, but then Baker Mayfield was asked about it in the post game. Listen to how into the line of questioning this reporter is about Baker Mayfield doing the Tommy DeVito celebration.
You start off with a kind of a whirling derby leap there in the end zone, and then I guess it was the DeVito celebration. Is that
tribute to Tommy? Yeah, he's a good dude. He's got swag.
Yeah, who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do, so there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it, too.
Yeah, you know, New York fans love Tommy here and give him something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance or no?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
I mean, that was a funny answer, the 23andMe. That was like a deposition. Was that a lawyer in there? Like, she was peppering him with questions.
That was Jenna Lane, I think her name is.
Okay.
She covers the Titans, or the Bucks.
The Bucks. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Was that planned? Your teammates were doing it.
Where are we on Baker Mayfield right now? Baker Mayfield has a great capacity with me on whether I either enjoy his churlishness or I think it's the sign of everything that's wrong with this generation. I feel like I'm enjoying it.
I used to hate Baker Mayfield. I was so happy for his downfall in Cleveland. I like Baker Mayfield a lot. This Tampa Bay version of he's been humbled. This Tampa Bay version of Baker Mayfield, who has been overall humbled, but still has moments like doing the Tommy DeVito celebration, thumbs up. I'm in favor of this version of Baker Mayfield.
Hey, Ben, can we play the initial question again? I just want to hear whether what this writer, man who makes his living writing words down, what I want to hear his exact phrasing again.
This is petty.
You start off with a kind of a whirling derby leap there in the end zone, and then
okay, that's it. Yeah, whirling derby. It's whirling dervish.
It's a
you
dervish.
Clown.
It's a
what the hell kind of writer are you?
Yeah, that's who, I need to know who that guy is. We need his name. Whirling dervish.
Whirling derby. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that is a common phrase. Yeah,
we'll look it up. All right, Jeffrey Simmons, Tennessee Titans All-Pro defensive tackle who. Did what we expected, ruined the interior of the Texans' offensive line, right?
I'm just laughing at myself, who routinely screws up a word at least once an hour.
Hey, man, that's okay.
Criticizing a verbal professional.
Take your shots. He screwed up. Yes. It's dervish. Point it out, man. So it's a petty cast. You're petty about it. It's good. Here was Jeffrey.
I said Jose Urquidy earlier when I meant Luis Montero, Luis Garcia.
Luis Garcia, yeah. Why don't we do Jeffrey
Montero.
Simmons here? How's that? We'll do Jeffrey
Moving
Simmons.
Moving on.
Yep. Jeffrey Simmons talking about closing the game out against the Texans. Of course, that's what they did. They forced a safety at the end of the game. But the part at the end, win one for Amy.
It felt good, man. Going out there and, you know, we always talk about as a defense, be closers. And that's what we did. We closed the game and, you know, we made the plays when we needed to. You know, we get pissed off and when things, you know, it's the NFL, things don't go well. You know, maybe like the fumble on special team or a big kickoff return, whatever it may be, you know, as a defense, you just got to put the fire out. You know, that's what we did, even on a fumble. Like, you know, you go out there and put the fire, you respond. And that's what we talk about as a defense. You know, whatever happened on the other side of the ball, it don't matter. You know, go out there and, you know, play all the style of defense. And, you know, we have a lot to clean up, but, man, this feels good. You know, not just for us, for Miss Amy. You know, we know the history behind everything. And just to see her in this locker room, you know, with tears in her eyes, you know, how much this means to her. Now, that's the reason why, you know, we, especially myself, like, go out there and give them all. You know, we had a mindset last night. We talked about it. You know, let this game mean a little more and play for our owner.
Why is this in the petty cast, Sean?
Win one for Amy Adams, just because I'm wondering how maybe the Texans are processing this win over the Titans. There might not be a more petty head-to-head going on right now at an executive level, at an ownership level, than Amy Adams Strunk versus Hannah McNair.
I don't like the – I thought the petty cast was to be petty about other people, like, outwardly. I don't want to feel the pettiness, Sean. I don't want to have it directed towards me.
I got you.
And Amy Adams Strunk, you know, who plays the petty game real hard.
Yeah.
I don't want to – you know, prop up her pettiness.
Yeah, well, I mean, she had tears in her eyes, Seth, in that locker room. I mean, she had been... This has been a rough stretch for the Titans against the Tech. I see what you're saying.
We know that there's no need. Okay, so this needs to be a prelude to a petty cast after the next Titans game where you go into Nashville and turn Will Levis into a pumpkin.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
All right, I'll only accept this entry into the petty cast. Is you know, Jeffrey Simmons was one of two interior defensive linemen that just absolutely destroyed the Texans' offensive line.
Yeah.
I would say, I mean, the Tennessee Titans' defense and their physicality was so far above and beyond the realm of anything the Texans can offer right now. I mean, they just smacked them down. They got beat. You don't flush that immediately.
Nope.
They got their butts physically whooped.
Yep.
By a much more physical, much more blue collar. I'll call it H-Town blue collar. They're more H-Town blue collar than the Texans offense.
Good call. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. My wife is a Titans fan. Talk about petty. She left a jar of Hellman's on top of my truck. That's pretty good.
Do we have to boycott Hellman's? Is that the cause I'm all of a sudden going to care about?
I hope not.
As I've ignored every single plea to boycott any company at all, I ignore all of them.
I might have to
engage it for Hellman's.
I ain't boycotting mayonnaise, man. I like my mayo.
Other brands.
There are. I just like, yeah, that's true. You know, I like my Hellman's.
I'll go store brand, damn it.
You ain't scared.
I'm not going to support Hellman's when I could be supporting HEB.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I have pettiness from a former Houston Texan. Let's start with this. This is not the former Houston Texan you're about to hear from. This is Sean Payton on the safety position for the Denver Broncos. He was on, it looks like he was on some in-house media there in Denver, and they moved on from Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson this offseason. Mm-hmm. Or last season they did. Remember, they cut Kareem and he became a Texan. But Sean Payton had moved on from both of those guys, and they promoted PJ Locke and free agent Brandon Jones, and they've done a good job, according to Payton, at safety. They've been a big upgrade over last year's safeties.
We're better overall on the back end at that position than we were a year ago. And we've played a few different guys back there. But I like how we're playing. We're communicating. Our guys on defense, Vance, and Jim Leonard and all those guys are doing a fantastic job, but we're definitely, I would say, further along, and it was a good performance by those guys yesterday.
All right, so Kareem Jackson, one of the safeties that was upgraded from, according to Sean Payton right there,
two-time Houston Texan,
retweeted this audio that we just heard from Sean Payton. And with crying, rolling on the floor, laughing emoji, says, if it's one thing I've learned in this league after being in it for 15 years, some of these coaches will say any damn thing, even if it's them putting their foot in their mouth, LOL. Shout out PJ and B. Jones, because I love what they're doing this year. Keep going, fellas.
Yeah, I think that's on Kareem's part. I can see where he's coming from. It's like what we've talked about before. It's like it's possible to give a compliment without throwing shade at somebody else.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Kareem meant it exactly this way. This is what I would say about Payton. It's the kind of thing a coach throws out there where, frankly, yes, they are a better passing defense this year. I don't know about the individual safeties themselves versus those guys last year, whatever.
It's a good defense,
You know, you can give them a compliment without also throwing shade on guys who were good players for you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to always go there, Sean Payton. But what are you going to do? Like, the fact of the matter is, yeah, they're performing very well as a defense this year.
You think Kareem found that audio himself, or you think someone sent that to him?
I think somebody totally sent it to him.
Yeah.
I just, Kareem's going to throw his opinions out there about it. I'm guessing it's not going to prove anything to any current Broncos fans. I don't think Broncos fans are going to, they're going to side with Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's the way things work.
Yeah.
But, Payton, I don't know. He's operated pretty well in life, operating the way he operates.
Dude,
that's how it's going to be.
I was thinking about this last night, watching that Chargers and Ravens game.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, the AFC West, when it comes to just the head coaching matchups, the Raiders are screwed. You've got Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, and Sean Payton's been very good in Denver. I was skeptical that he was just cashing checks. He's done a really good job with Bo Nix. He's done a good job with that defense. You got Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton in the same division. Those are some heavyweights, man. Like that is the Raiders are, they are effed. Who do you hire? You know what I mean?
You hire Deion Sanders, man.
That would be fun.
I think Deion is the perfect. the perfect guy. You look at, okay, you got to find the right coach. That's something Bill O'Brien has talked about in interviews. And like Bill O'Brien says some really, really smart things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is about just finding the right fit for, you know, there's lots of really good head coaches. Not every city is a fit for them.
Right.
Or not every organization is a fit for them. The Raiders come with certain challenges in dealing and handling ownership. The mystique of the Raiders can be as much a curse as a blessing, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Deion might be the guy who's most perfectly suited to balance all of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I really, strictly selfishly, just to watch and see how it unfolds, I really hope Deion takes an NFL job
somewhere. I do too, man. I do too. Like, once Shadur and Travis Hunter are gone from Colorado,
yeah,
like, then it's just... It's a garden variety Big 12 team that, you know, it's fun having Deion there, I guess. I'm with you on that. That would be awesome. That would be so fun.
Yeah, and I know, I don't think people are even bothering. For a long time, people would say, no, Deion has said he doesn't want to coach in the NFL. I think now he has said in a meeting with his AD in the room that basically everybody's got a price. So he's either, okay, one of two things. He's either going to have a big raise next year at Colorado, or he's going to be on an NFL team.
No,
is that
question.
A pretty safe either or? It's one or the other. He's either going to be coaching in the NFL or he's going to have a huge raise at
100%. There is no choice C. It'll be one of those two things.
He's making $5 million a year right now in Colorado. The NFL going rate for Deion, I'm guessing, is going to be 10 plus million.
The only thing I would give like a 2% chance of happening, and the reason it's so low is because they just extended Mike Norvell in Florida State.
Uh-huh.
But that's Deion's alma mater. You know, like I could see, like if Florida State got,
oh yeah,
gave him a huge bag to repair his alma mater, you know, I could see that being enticing to him.
I don't know if I doubt Deion cares about this. There is something about the pressure of coaching at your alma mater that like you got to consider it. You know, you got to know that the lows, it just, there's a lot of extra baggage that comes with it. So, but regardless of that,
expert on a podcast summed up the CJ Stroud situation, I hope, perfectly. I think this is the best case scenario for CJ Stroud's struggles of late. We'll have that for you coming up next.